Big Show from the Bash. God has smiled on us. What weather we have. Superb. I can't even see Carl. Burglar. We're doing the Big Show from the Bash. We're here with everybody who's come, everyone who's bothered to buy a ticket. Was it worth the money?
Yay!
Yes.
The week's tech news. We've got a fabulous panel. Mad, so many.
The introductions will be the entire show.
That's it. Where can we get a hold of you'll be the last bit. We all get a pick as well. That should be the thing. The week in tech. It's been a great week. I thought this would be a good start considering the event. Scientists have grown a human liver from stem cells. Thank God.
Did everybody bring their stem cells?
Do they have to be your own stem cells or can you use someone else's? I wouldn't have any stem cells that have been in someone else. A team at Yokohama City University, led by Takanori Takeoff. That's got to be a made-up name.
Take what off?
Takeoff. Only after a good curry. I've created a miniature version of the human liver. So you can get your liver, not just now a new one, you can get a smaller version.
I need a supersize.
Mammo liver.
Do you think they do like alcoholics livers?
So that'd be Carl's.
Puritans with livers.
Carl size.
Carl's livers. It could be a new import business. On the eBay shop. Carl's livers. They've called them liver buds. Don, any comment on that? Because that sounds like a rip-off to me.
He's a liver budlian.
Liver budlian, aye.
Well, I think that there's probably after last night, from what I'm hearing, that I think there could probably be a good audience here for
the livers were the least of my worries at the minute, mate. I'm going to hurl any
replacement
minute.
Livers is probably good on the agenda this time, right?
You lot are in danger. She can't move fast.
Oh, yeah. And as Barbara says, it's an awful idea, but never mind. I've got my...
Don will be appearing in 1855.
She feeds me all my lines. You know, you don't know. She's normally sat off screen, but you know, she's here with me today, so she'll...
You're behaving today as well, aren't you? See? Now she's keeping an eye on you. That's the real Don, right there. The Don. Under the thumb. Give him hell, Barbara.
Never, never.
Give him hell. Barbara's already been knocked out of the cards, though. Second story. France has got its own prison system. Prism. Prism, not prison. All the French are criminals. Yes. I hate the French. All the surrender monkeys have got a system that captures and processes the metadata for billions and billions of communications. French law apparently has no way of dealing with the storage of personal data. They've got absolutely nothing in that statute.
And they refuse to understand English anyway, so most of it's useless.
They don't give in, don't they? The system has allegedly been in operation for 5 years, but it's been on strike for three of those. And there's the reports that data being transferred from the UK sources was being collected by the French authorities, but it was confirmed that it was burned at Calais. John wrote that. Third story, major web firms have joined anti-NSA protests. I don't know if this is wise or not. WordPress are in there, Reddit and Mozilla. Are they major internet firms? WordPress, yeah, they got some reach. Reddit.
All the geeks love Reddit.
You know, if you want to join in this, it's fine. It's not like we're short of mics or anything. Blimey. Like pulling skin off porridge.
For anyone listening, this is actually fake, and Ewan's by himself, and we're an audience track that's been played in underneath him. He does it in his own personal time.
There's also... Oh, no, hang on. The plan is to have people turn up in 100 cities across the USA to give the NSA hell. Their catchy slogan was, "Yes, we scan." What has that got to do with the prison thing?
Because Obama's the president.
I barely better look small in that picture. I'm Beyonce, mate. I got a publicist. You can't use that.
Can you walk like Rihanna?
I thought you had a publi-.
I like that. About 5 o'clock, yeah. Laughed at that joke.
Who's Bobby Brown here going to beat me up? Not Bobby Brown, Chris Brown. What were you saying anyway? You were talking something sensible.
No, probably not. Okay. But carry on.
In Washington, there was nearly 50 people.
It's
and they were still
party,
harassed by the
there?
Police. You've got to turn it off, mate. Yeah, you've got to take that tripod down. You can't use a tripod, mate. Not around here. This is Washington. Firefox mobile OS has arrived. It's on a ZTE POS. Anyone think about that? Come on, there's got to be some developers here. Who's thinking that Firefox mobile OS is the thing for them? No?
No.
That's more dissension than Windows. That'll do. Apparently, you're required to sign up for a 2-year contract if you want this phone on Movistar, which is Telefonica owned in Spain. The contract for 2 years, you're tied in for 2 years, right? You can't get out. It's a ball and chain contract. You're knackered. €2.38 a month.
Oh, that's not bad.
€2.38 a month.
What, they give not you even. That?
Do you have to buy your own data?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Just like yourself.
Have to buy your own opposite.
But the good news is, you can buy a handset SIM free. Absolutely free to wear, right?
That's not bad, is it?
€69. 60 quid. You've got to get one, just so you can say, oh, yeah, I got two.
Don's just ordered three while we're waiting.
CTO Brendan Eich said tablets running Firefox OS would be coming soon. You can't wait, can you? The tension is palpable. And Windows 8 has overtaken Vista in the OS marketplace. 8 uptake is now slower than Windows 7, apparently. Any thoughts? Oh, come on, we got a Windows developer, the man for Windows, Alan. Why is the uptake to Windows 8 so bad over what it was for 7? Because 7, they were desperate to get away from
the
Vista.
The man who's proudly...
Well, problem is, you know, Windows 8 is great on touchscreen devices, but most people are still on non-touchscreen. So, you know, why would you upgrade from Windows 7 to 8 when you haven't got a touchscreen yet?
Come on, you Mac users, haven't you upgraded your Parallels to Windows 8 yet?
No.
I think we should do a bit of an experiment.
Oh, go on.
Because we have, calm down everyone for this, I don't want to hear a big whoop or anything, but we have a Windows tablet in the house.
Woo!
Do you want to hold it aloft?
Your biceps are big, aren't they, Alan?
So the Surface, is that what it is? Surface is, you are holding it with two hands. What the heck's the thing on the, is that a phone
it's
plugged
a phone.
Into it?
We found one in the wild.
Blimey, okay.
Has it crashed yet?
So I think we should give somebody who's familiar with Windows, who's not operated... Where's he gone?
He's up there.
Oh.
I'm here.
Somebody who's not operated Windows 8 before, maybe even 7, the tablet, and see how they get on in terms of throwing them into the Windows world. And then we come back to them 5 minutes later and get a review.
Are we talking a small child here?
Will Green.
Near enough.
You've got to give your tablet to Will Green, and Will Green has got to type a document with a picture in it, with text flowed around the picture, in 5 minutes.
And email it to someone.
Will hasn't done anything.
He's
going to
say
he
can't do that.
I've got we've got Wi-Fi, don't we? Okay, should we sort that out? Will, are you up for the challenge?
Exactly.
One, use the microphone.
While you were sleeping, we were talking about Alan here has got a Surface tablet with him. You won't be contaminated. We can wash your hands afterwards. And we think it would be a good challenge to see how intuitive it is by letting you try and compose a document with a picture in it and flow the text around it and email it to someone within 10 minutes. And if you can do it, it's a win. If you can't, it's a loss. There you go.
I'll give it a go, but...
Martin, use the mics, dude.
Sorry.
You lost Will when you had to publish something. You got very confused about that.
Okay. Ooh, harsh.
He's going Windows. What's that?
Can you do it, actually? I mean, can you actually do it?
Does it make a document?
We're going
words
to ask
there,
you.
You know, words on there. I'll set it up for email.
But
oh, I didn't bring it on. Say hi.
Just to up the ante... Will have a go in his first 5 minutes. We'll come to Will with a review. And then I'll put forward my 6-year-old, Scarlett here, who's never operated a Windows machine in her life, I don't think, maybe at school.
No pressure,
see if she does better than Will.
No contest.
Are you up for that, Scarlett?
Yes.
And also, in the next 5 minutes, we're about to double the Windows Microsoft Surface penetration in the UK.
You can't show him how to do it.
You can't can't show him how to do it. You have to hand it over to him.
Etches, I said penetration.
And let him get on with it.
Just show him which way it goes up and just give it to him.
Right, challenge is on. Willie's being trained as we speak. It's a one-day course. The proper stories then. The proper stories of the week. Maplin is going to sell a 3D printer for £700 next week.
Wow.
You can get the download the gun thing and make your own gun, and you might buy the ammunition for it, but never mind.
Do you have to print it yourself?
Very good. The kit is a Velamon 8K 8200. It's not quite the same as other printers because you've got to build it yourself, apparently.
Right.
You an awful lot closer to the 3D printer market, and there's only one that's cheaper at £500, which is the Rep Wrap printer.
Does that give you colour as well?
Yeah.
That was a genuine question. I was wondering if it also does the spray-on colour.
You lot haven't worked out I never research any of the stories, have you?
You, and I also heard as well that Tesco are actually going to, or they're investigating bringing 3D printing into stores.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to buy the printer, you can actually go along and actually go into Tesco.
So you just bring your CAD dock and...
You just bring your, I want a part from a Hoover, which is looks like this, and they will actually print it out for you in the store.
Someone's got to be serious.
Is that for food as well?
Could be for food, it depends, yeah.
Like a loaf.
Well, somebody's made a pizza, they printed a pizza, didn't they, that was edible. NASA printed a pizza edible, so Tesco's got the idea they're getting in there first, aren't they?
Yeah,
you know, print your food.
But do they just have they got like? Is it like an inkjet printer where they've got a hopper full of tomato?
That's the one. That's the one.
And they spray the bread on. It's like, why on earth?
Remember, before you get there, you got to print the trolley or the basket to put it in first.
Mind you, I did hear that they're with some Japanese company thinking about printing livers or something. You know. So.
This challenge isn't working. He's been shown how to use it.
I was just pointing out that...
Are they trying to get on Wi-Fi first?
Now, come
give
on.
Give him a chance.
Would you give your personal tablet to Will Green to play with without doing a few things first?
Absolutely not. I'm interested to read what Will Green writes and what the lovely six-year-old writes. I bet the six-year-old one's more, you know, War and Peace.
Bigger words.
Vince. I'm more worried what he's going to look up on the internet.
Moving on. you can get the MakerBot Replicator 2 for £1,800, apparently. So it's £500 to £700 for this RepRap or the Velamon. Who's seriously thinking about buying? Don, you must have bought one. You need a part for your jet.
No, I've sort of dabbled with the idea of buying one, but I think it's still a bit early, really, in the, you know. If you want to make a little sort of tiny little ornament or something, fine, but it's going to take a little while before, you know, proper 3D printers are available, I think.
I mean, we've got some serious nerds here. Is anyone thinking about getting one at that price? Batwinch, I knew it.
I would, because I'm into CAD and stuff, so...
You're into CAD?
I'm into CAD.
What kind of person has a hobby that's into CAD?
I was going to say, unless you're really good at 3D design and build, I mean, the best you've got at the moment is Google SketchUp, which is fairly intuitive, but still pretty tough to be able to realise something. If, for example, you've got a bit of plastic that falls off a piece of kit at home, normally you either sort of use gaffer tape or throw the damn thing away. If you wanted to repair it, you'd have to get on your computer and work out a way of getting the measurements of that kit into a format.
There's an iOS app for that.
Well, you just scan it.
There's an iOS device that went into Kickstarter last year and it was funded. And basically, it's an iPhone holder.
Right.
And there's a set length beam with a rotating turntable on it. And you put an Apple on it, your part. Start the iOS app.
Your part. Turns it,
the part that you want to do.
There'll be a market for
as
that.
As long as you can turn with the table. Yeah, you can do that. And it turns... And the iPhone camera scans it, and then it gives you all the measurements in real time because it knows the distance. And but I don't know what the price of those is, but they were talking about £70 for that.
Sounds like you've been researching it. You want to buy
one, don't you? No, I actually researched that story last year on one of the podcasts.
HP do a 3D scanner as well. You can put an object in the middle of it. It's got a camera that goes over the top of it. It will rotate it, and it will literally do a vector graphic of whatever you put into it. So you do that into a vector program, like free Inkscape or something, and you print that on your 3D printer. Right. Sorted.
I don't think
price is about £400 for that, though.
This Maplin business model just doesn't work, because as soon as Don's bought one, he can just print the rest of us as many as we like, can't he? Yeah.
Well, the thing is on that one... Sorry, Chuck. After you, Betsy.
Oh, I was just going to say I have a 3D printer.
Oh!
And they're great. I mean, we use it
What do you make with it?
All sorts of things. Cookies. I've made things for my camera. We've printed
really?
Two printers with my printer. Wow. But I don't let it know it can print. It can
Is that like a Skynet thing? When does your printer become self-aware?
I don't know.
You'll get home next week and it'll be like, don't come in.
Right. Right. And we print all sorts of things. We got it in a million pieces at work and put it together as a team project. And we've printed TARDISes and...
It
ornaments
works.
And yeah.
So seeing as well. I've never actually held anything that's been. Is it pretty tough plastic? Is it?
Yeah, it is. It's like Lego.
Very
it's
tough.
The same.
That's pretty
same
good stuff.
Plastic,
then.
Well, I went to Marussia this year and had a tour around their factory, and they build their cars. All of the engines are made out of 3D printed parts to make sure they fit before they send them out for casting and machining.
I noticed there is there's a Kickstarter project which is actually it's finished now. It's got its funding. It was
that's because you've looked at it.
No. I didn't actually go in for it. But it was 100,000 they were looking for, and they're
it
up
must
to
be crap.
They're up to 1.6 million.
Was that the
and
pen?
It's the Buccaneer 3D, I think, and it's sort of like a home 3D printer. But they use something very clever in the software. They use a thing called Smart Objects, so you don't need to be a CAD expert to actually use it. You sort of give a 2D rep into the software, and it. Turns it into a 3D thing, but it's
brilliant.
You know, it really is sort of coming along now.
There was another Kickstarter that was basically a pen that had all the plastic inside it, and you basically drew what you wanted and then kind of glued it all together again. So it was kind of a 3D printer without actually having to go inside the machine. It was quite cool.
Can I just ask, Alan, have we set up the Wi-Fi yet on the Surface tablet? We have. An email.
For
right,
the benefit
so
of the
awesome.
Listener,
hand
he
it into the hands of Will. Hand
it
into the hands of Will. Let's start the clock. 5 minutes.
No, give him 10.
10?
Yeah.
What, to write
a
document?
No,
then we can see how long it takes Carla to do it. She does it in three. He's lost.
Can we have independent verification?
Time starts now.
Set. Someone get
now
a picture of this.
The
Will
tablet
holding
is now
a Surface tablet.
In Will's hands. Look of complexity
we're post that,
on his face.
Steal his phone and retweet it so all his followers know he's touched
rubbing
Windows.
Rubbing his brow.
Unclean.
More importantly, though, how long until we get a blue screen of death?
You got to find them.
Dr. Sexy, you had a point. You grabbed the microphone and walked forwards. I thought you were...
He's found word.
I think what you were saying before, I was thinking about, like, if I was going to use a 3D printer, I would literally want it to be, I would scan, you know, the object with my phone, you know, send it via AirDrop or something like that to the printer, boom, it's printed. I think until it gets to that kind of level, we'll not see mass market usage of it, really. Yeah. I'll just be in the realm of geeks.
Like a microwave. So you basically open the door, you stick something in the microwave, scans it, take it out, and then it prints it inside the microwave.
That's even better.
Yeah.
That's even better.
Well, that's Star Trek. Yeah. That's
is that your Kickstarter project now?
It is, yes. That was my pitch. So
I heard somebody was printing TARDISes. How the hell do you print a TARDIS? Because it's bigger in the inside than the outside. How the hell does that work?
Well, you start with the inside. It's obvious.
How's Will getting on? Will, how are you getting on?
Yeah, this is cool.
Oh, hang on.
He's made the document,
there's
text and a picture in it.
Yep.
There might be a problem with battery.
He only knows 50 words.
I got it going. I'm working this. Well, it's a bit rubbish, isn't it? Let's be honest. I mean, we all know this is a bit rubbish.
Why are you lying
while
down
we're
to
waiting
do this?
For Ewan...
Yes.
While we're waiting for Will, can we go back to the prism story? Because it just occurred to me quite how serious that is if it's in France. As in, given that if there is a prism system on our border and in the heart of the EU, I would say that has quite serious implications for Europe and Great Britain and so forth. Even though we suspect Britain's involved in the American version of the programme, for it to be in one of our neighbours also has quite serious implications, I would say.
They've probably all got them.
GCHQ's doing that. Come
yeah,
on.
Of course. I would assume GCHQ are
and
taking
instead
data
of or... having nuclear grade uranium now. It's going to be the Americans saying we're going to bomb you if you've got a prison system. So I said prism.
He's taking the mic
into the pier. Is that the sound of him peeing?
Did you hear that?
Yeah, that wasn't what it sounded like.
Yes, we
doing.
Heard it, Steve. Story 2, EU has slashed roaming charges. It now only costs £470 for 1 gigabyte of data.
It's still cheaper than a text message.
I am so sick and tired of the EU being a bunch of pansies. How long have they been talking about taking away roaming? And apparently this is the fast track and it doesn't disappear entirely until next year. Are they giving the phone operators a chance to make some money out of it? Who's upset with the roaming charges? Of you liars.
Yeah.
But it's a great service because they're recording all your conversations and putting them in the prism anyway. So come on.
I want to ask 50%
Johnny
of people,
Foreigner.
The 50% of people who did not put their hand up, are you quite happy with
we
it?
We didn't understand the question.
I don't roam.
And I'd
I would say that if you consider that mainland Europe isn't that much bigger than the continental US, there's no really excuse, is there? It's just the border controls and the number of different suppliers across those borders. They just need to get their act together and sort it out.
But there's not really that many different suppliers. It's Telefonica, generally, and maybe two or three others. And so they all have brands in all these different countries, but it's actually two or three, maybe four companies. So there's really no excuse.
Rip-off.
Given how sort of politically under pressure the EU is, it'd be quite an easy win for them to take a stand against roaming charges. They'd probably win over quite a few ailing fans, actually, and sort of prove their worth in some way if you could cut out.
But the surrender
charges.
Monkeys are the biggest people in Europe. That's why they don't do anything.
Well, I think that's the problem. Is the European government doesn't really need a vote, does it?
It's the French.
Not a European government.
Being kind is the French.
Stop the clock.
What have we got?
Is that success? So you have managed to do what, Will?
I did a picture. Well, I didn't take the picture, but it was already there. I did some text and wrapped the text around the picture.
Was the text already there?
Could you see the picture afterwards, though?
And I sent it. If I'm honest, if I'm truthfully honest, I did have a little bit of help. Only towards the end, I was running out of steam. God, there's only so much. I mean, I'm 42, for God's sake.
Is that why you're not holding your own mic?
Yeah.
Now, Will does
got
not
a man
have
for that.
Will's got staff for that
yes,
kind of
Will
thing.
Yes, Will has staff.
Even Don's given his mic man a day off.
No, I'm on double rates because it's the weekend.
We need to point out, though, that there is another event happening today other than just several podcasts, in that the World Card Cutting Championship was kicked off earlier.
What a first round, I thought. Amazing. Half of you are no longer in it.
It was massacre. And we did have a contest between Will, representing the Mac, and Alan, representing the... Who?
PC.
Oh, yeah, the PC.
PC.
And who won?
Well, modesty forbids.
But, Steve, that wasn't the heavyweight bout, was it? The heavyweight bout was Madden versus Barton.
You're not getting any Christmas cards this year off those two, then?
Well, that was, you know, there's about 12 foot at least between those two.
And the rest? Yeah. 6-7 in one of them.
That was.
We're talking about Carl, by the way, if anyone's listening.
Yeah. Carl and Matt Bunn. And it was a pretty.
You can probably still see him if they're sitting
at home.
There's two slabs here that are further indented than the others.
In the next round, we should put Carl. And if you've not met Carl in the flesh, he's actually 7'5" against my 6-year-old. That would be a good contest, wouldn't it?
Well, we've already had a picture of Charlotte next to him. So
we should find the youngest child and put them against Carl.
They're still
are we talking
than
mental
me?
Age or?
Well, Will's already gone. He's lost. No, he's won.
No, Will's affirmed himself as
I'm
a guru,
still
here,
you know.
I hate the EU and I hate the French. And 1 year on, the Information Commissioner's Office wants to change Google's privacy policy. They're demanding answers about Google's privacy policy more than a year after the web giant brought in its services. In January 2012, Google unified the privacy policies for most of its many services into a single document. Concerns were voiced at the time over how the data would be used across different products and all over the lack of the way that the users couldn't opt out for the terms. So, do you want changes to the privacy policy, or are the EU being pansies again over this? Because people are doing it anyway. I can find out most of the data I want from you just from your Gmail address. I have a semi-pro friend. Didn't stop at the other word there.
You might want to rephrase that one.
Yeah, no, a semi-pro friend who, when someone writes a letter of complaint in, I give him their Gmail address and he tells me where they live.
It's actually a little bit frightening. You can actually... I've got emails from people and I've never been in contact with them ever before and their photo appears on the email. And that's one step of disconnection, which has already been removed, completely out of their control and out of my control. So it is a little bit worrying that there's some profile somewhere that they've subscribed to that they may not be aware that is being shared. Yeah. So, yeah. But then again, is it a governmental task to is it some kind of governmental task to bring these people to account? Who, or is it down to us as users to petition the companies ourselves, maybe by making a choice?
But you're really
going to
vote with your feet over Google. I mean, they give you so much stuff free of charge that's really useful that you just can't walk away. I mean, it's an unfair contract term. It wouldn't stand up in a court by any stretch of the imagination. But then you lose the service. And do you want to lose the service more than you want to lose the...
It's the classic thing in tech, isn't it? If you're not paying for the product, you become the product. And Google and Google have sort of proven that time and time again. And actually, I think you and Drive, would we actually walk away from our Gmail accounts and all the things that administrate and YouTube no. and all the rest of it? Because we don't like that our picture pops up in your inbox.
But is it up to the governments to regulate that?
No.
It's quite hard when they're multinational.
If you want to, I think it's simple. You want to use it, you accept those terms. You don't want to use it, that's fine. There's other alternatives, or maybe not as good, or maybe not as integrated, but there's other alternatives.
If not, there are still 4chan chat rooms, and you can have fun in there.
Yeah. And you can send a letter.
Which
to Royal Mail.
Is it webcam as well, no?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Judging by what Ewan said, though, with Gmail, UK doesn't need Prism. We've just got Ewan. It's sorted. It's no problem.
I have got billions and billions of letters of complaint.
But the other thing is, you could make it, you know, whatever you like. Nobody's reading the terms and conditions, so you could change the privacy settings. Nobody knows because they're just ticking yes and off we go. You know, it's.
But exactly, that's what we're saying. That's the problem. So that's why governments need to intervene, because most people are stupid. That's true.
That's a very dangerous precedent.
The person is intelligent. People are stupid.
But isn't the regulation should be around privacy agreements, not the services? Basically, maybe government regulation to say that there's a limit on the number of pages or the limit and the amount of words in a privacy agreement, and that it has to spell out. You know, maybe a regulation says, yeah, okay, you can have 15,000 pages of privacy agreement, but you have to state the basic terms within the first 30 words or something like that, so that people can really see it.
Well, the problem with that is that the privacy
yeah
the privacy agreements are written by lawyers.
Interestingly, though,
well, would it undermine Prism?
Sorry,
what was that?
I don't think anybody heard that.
Would it undermine Prism?
Oh, absolutely.
Having decent privacy agreements.
Yeah. No, well, the privacy agreement would say Google reserves the right to give any information they like to your government, because your government will ask for it anyway.
Yeah. Well, don't all the big Google and Apple, they've all said they're not involved, aren't they? They all got quite nervous.
Well, the whole
about
thing
it.
With Prism, though, was not the fact that companies opted in or opted out of backdoors. It was the fact that it was the redirection of DNS, wasn't it?
Yeah, they don't need to. So companies like Google have turned around and said, we have nothing to do with this. They don't need to have anything to do with it, because it's all captured upstream, isn't it? So whether companies like it or not, or we like it or not, is happening outside of everybody's control at the moment.
Okay, so can I have a quick show of hands based on this? Of all of us here, who uses something like Tor or private browsing to get around this? One? And a
two?
A one and a half. Two people. So we're the people who are...
No way that dude's a half.
Well, yeah. Well, we're internet-savvy people, and even we aren't making that move, that step, towards making sure that our information is kept as private
because
as possible.
The systems and the utilities that we use will break if we block that kind of stuff. It'll stop working, and you'll not get the same kind of advantages of, you know, recommended search and things like that. I wouldn't block any of that, because I like those services.
Yeah. I went to a talk, and there was one of the people at the talk was a security consultant, a hacker. And they basically said, to avoid getting viruses on my phone, I don't open emails, I don't open attachments, I don't do X, Y, Z. And it basically came to the point, to avoid all this stuff, and it's the same with your data going, you basically don't use the devices that they're designed to do. And we've accepted that we want the devices to do these things. So you end up, and as a conversation, we have to give up these bits of data about us.
I'd like to pick up the point that everyone doesn't try to get around these systems. Most of the people around here got their own websites and they got their own blogs, and they're all self-publicists, aren't they? Yeah. Well, we all are, to be all honest. That's why we're
absolutely.
Here. We enjoy it. We, internet and privacy is not something we're seeking. We're seeking to put ourselves out there.
if you look at the lack of privacy, none of us would be stood here if there was privacy at the level that you're saying is wrong to do anyway, Paul. I mean, last night we all went for a curry. Nobody said, pleased to meet you. Everyone just shook hands and started talking because that relationship's already there.
But the thing would be different if everyone had Google Glass on.
Any device that allows you to see Robert Scoble in the shower is a bad thing and needs removing. Terrible.
Charlotte, those glasses are quite big.
Quick quiz. Quick quiz from the 400 people here. How many have actually been hacked? Oh, okay. So
mine hacked. Mm.
My website was hacked. So I.
That was about 10%, I think. Maybe 20.
Yeah.
My hacker sent me an email saying, you sad bastard. Because there was nothing to take. Sorry, Sam. Your nose, you can get fluid down your nose. It's fine. It's safe. Don't worry.
I think
the Yahoo one, weren't they saying that if you don't use your Yahoo account for a certain amount of time, that they would repurpose your email?
I wouldn't disbelieve that. This week in Marissa Meyer.
If you don't log into your Yahoo account for 2 months or 3 months, they will take your email address and they will make it available to someone else from Yahoo. And it's like, at least one privacy problem has popped right into my head with that. Yeah.
I think there's an unwritten rule, though, isn't there?
Do you want your email back?
If there's anything you want to keep private, you don't put it online. I mean, if you use an online service, you can't guarantee privacy. Yeah. So if there's information that you want to share with people, if there's information you want to store online, it's the unwritten rule that this could possibly be made available to other people. So the rule is don't put anything that you want to keep private online. It's as simple as that.
This is why Marissa Meyer wanted people to... all her staff to go back to the office just to log into their email address to keep them going.
Well, you say that, Don, but I've got at least three applications that run on my phone that as soon as I take a photo, they go, oh, you want to put that online? And you almost have to opt out of the option to be able to upload everything you want to even keep.
Well, that's Android
on your phone
for you there, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry?
That's Android for you.
Thanks.
I'm surprised there aren't more burglaries, generally. I'm surprised Android doesn't say, do you want some pictures of your wife?
But Dropbox does that, doesn't it? When you connect even on the Mac now, you fire up Dropbox and you put your iPhone or whatever into the thing and Dropbox pops up and goes, oh, me, put all this on me.
Dude, how come the mic is exactly the same distance from your mouth, but your voice fades in and out? That's a real skill.
He's a pro. It's a vocal trait. I'm doing it manually.
Is there anyone else worry about tweeting that where they're going or where they are and then thinking, if someone's
like
watching my account...
That's quite
a serious
issue.
August 3rd to August the 10th.
No, I've got people staying in my house and they're very hard. And they've got a dog too.
There was a significant privacy oversight, which a lot of people just don't think about. I think about it, but I still allow it. And that's if you use an Android phone, all your data is going to America. So you're not... they're not constrained by EU privacy laws.
No,
you've offered it up to them. So the NSA has got your data now as well.
Steve's point also about people tweeting and putting Facebook on holiday pictures and checking in at airport terminals and all of that, saying where they're going and for how long and all of that. And that's a real... That's going to be the... I mean...
It has happened. People have done that.
It's a huge an issue.
There was a service built a couple of years ago that actually pulled in that data and was able... The idea was you were able to go onto it and kind of scare you into maybe not posting that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and I actually said to you, you were on holiday on these dates to these locations. And it was right there for anybody to access. And it was
and
supposed to be scare
tactics.
And
your house was empty.
Exactly.
Well,
and your
again,
burglar
comes back
alarm
to
code is...
comes back to user choice. I mean, you've got the choice of whether you post the stuff while you're there or... afterwards. I mean, I'd often check in somewhere. If I'm checking in and I want everyone to know where I am, I'll check in when I get there. If I don't particularly want people to know where I am right now, then I'll check in when I leave. I haven't checked in here yet.
Says the man who was in Milan last week and was in,
America
the week before.
I was in Madrid. Bro.
This is not a good week to be a geek and check in at a church place, mate. It really isn't.
In fairness,
wrong week.
I think if I want to check in and people not to know where I am, I use MySpace.
Just one more thing.
Friends
what's
reunited
MySpace?
For me.
Oh,
you're too young.
I was just going to say very quickly, Google Now. I mean, again, and maybe this is dissing Android again, but you can get Google Now for iPhone. Is it You go to Google now and it says, would you like a summary of what we think you've done over the last month? They said, we think you work in this place and you've walked approximately 25 kilometres. How the hell do you know all this about me?
Yeah. You got location on.
Yeah. That's basically the thing is you've clicked the little thing that says GPS on and a little tech box that says send information to Google so we can help you find the stuff you want.
It's the soft side of privacy infringement.
The thing is, in terms of privacy, I think the most important thing is that you can get around all of this by never allowing it to put your address on. You know, I would never put my address on any of the online services. And
I'll give it if you want it.
Yeah, sure. And I'm sure you probably can.
Written that letter of complaint.
If Richard orders something online, he never puts his home address, so it doesn't get delivered there.
Never. No. It's hopeless.
Amazon's horrible.
Why does everyone use it? particularly photographs, because like you said, if you say on Facebook, I'm away or whatever, but a lot of people forget that if you take a photograph and you've got location settings on at home, you're tagging your home address. So I make a specific thing of making sure that's never on when I'm taking photographs around the house.
Things like that require common sense, though, and a lot of people don't have that these days. Yep. They're just so used to, I've done this, I've done that, I want this, I want that. Yep. And they're just letting everything out for everybody else to see. And then they think, oh, hang on a minute, somebody's having a go at me about this, somebody's having a go at me about that. Oh, I've been burgled. Yep. Makes no surprise, really, does it?
And then it'll be an outrage.
Well, you say common sense. You say it's not really a case of common sense, though. For example, if you log into Facebook, Facebook's privacy policies are that you don't really have any. And then you're off to your amusement park, and you say, look, here's me on a ride at the amusement park. You've just checked into an amusement park. Everybody, even if they haven't got a Facebook account, knows you're there. There's no opt-out of it. It's all opt-in, isn't it?
If you're listening to this midweek on Wednesday, the following week, and we all return home, we're all burgled, we're going to feel so stupid.
I have a vicious guinea pig, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I can say.
I don't think common sense is a fair point. I think the vast majority of people don't know.
It's education.
Outside here, who knows that? No, they don't understand how it works. They don't understand how tagging works. They don't understand that they are giving away the fact that they're not at home. People just don't know these
things. Further to that, we're here and we do it.
Yeah.
But we're okay with that, are we?
Yeah, but
because we understand it, so theoretically we're okay with that.
We're the ones that lack in common sense. Everyone else is just ignorant.
Yay!
No, but the challenge is, none of us have ever posted our actual address online, probably. So the challenge is, can we find where Martin lives in half an hour?
Right, Will Green, yes. give him a surface.
Once you've got someone's Gmail address, their location is extremely easy. You can find dating sites that they're registered on.
If they don't have a Gmail address?
I know people on Facebook who actually check in at their own address and put their own postcode on there.
I think that's stupid. Well, no, I think the thing you've got to realise is that in quantified terms, the greatest risk you're at is not from the general public, only 10% of which are criminals. It's actually from your partner, your ex-partner, who knows who you are and wants to know you're out to come round to clear their clothes out or clear the property of what they believe is rightly theirs. You know, 99.9%, I would suggest, are partners of others who are separated or something like that. It's not general public.
No,
but if this was actually happening, it would be quite a big, easy communication to make in terms of the media. Don't publish your address online, don't publish your blah, 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 because if you do, you're putting yourself at risk. But that message doesn't come out, does it?
Well, the reason for that is because the message would come out through the media, and let's face it, the press would love that information, so they're not going to tell people not to give it.
There is an alternative. Everyone publishes their address. Because then that's all the addresses, isn't it?
I didn't know
you
invited.
It's called the smorgasbord, isn't it?
I didn't know you'd invite Jeff Jarvis to the party. Oh, blimey.
Yeah. The burglar's just checked in at Ewan's house.
Are we not generational about it? I mean, everyone here is a certain age. I mean, and discussing privacy, but my children know about privacy and they are aware of the Facebook issues and they simply do not care.
Yeah. I'm going to exit this podcast and go home straight away.
And it's a debate for us. And there's people saying people do know and they don't know, and you have to make a choice. My children have made the choice, and they simply don't care. And I think they're not alone in that.
I think so. I have a teenager, and she thinks that she is 110% secure. She thinks that anything she puts on Facebook is 110%
secure. You need to give her more maths lessons.
I've tried to explain it, but the point is, she understands that. She thinks that it's secure, and everything she puts on there is rock solid.
Can we get a doctor to comment on that? Is she 110% secure?
Are you drunk, neighbour?
Now, Steve makes a very good point, though, about the... you know, we don't really see that many, at least publicly, articles or news stories about people who have been wronged by, you know, publicising their whereabouts. And to be honest, you'd think you'd see an awful lot more than we actually do. I can only remember two or three instances over the past two or three years where they've made the correlation between someone, you know, having some wrongdoing done towards them to what they've actually done on a social media site, etc. And I hope I haven't just sort of joshed myself and...
No,
go back.
Right.
Yeah.
it's small amount.
So I would add to that the fact that when your teenage daughter tries to get a job in 2 years' time, mm-hmm. and the before the interview, they go, I wonder what their online profile's like, and they see the Facebook photos.
That's slightly different. I think that's a public timeline. What my point is that anything you put on there could be made public at some point in the future.
But isn't that going to be the case at some point in the future? The people hiring her are going to be on there as well and having done exactly the same things.
I'll send you the link to those photos after as well.
Can I quick question? Hands up again.
Crack on. Go.
Quick question. Put your hand up if you're involved with hiring people in your work, professional life, or this a bit higher so I can see. Keep your hand up if you've actually Googled the people that you're about to interview. You buggers. God blimey.
Why wouldn't you?
So 80% of the people... are Googling people before they interview them.
But why wouldn't you? I have been, I've interviewed quite a few people who have actually linked in with me and followed me on Twitter before the interview because they know my name by who's going to be interviewing them. So that's the opposite direction, and why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd say that more positive. I want someone who's got a spark of life about them and can seriously have some enjoyment out of working life with us.
Following on from.
Hang on, Aaron's. Can I just get Aaron in? Go on.
We just recently took over a contract.
They've just done that experiment on me. They've
just
found out where I work. They've got my address. They know who I am. But that's because I've got a very odd name. So that it comes up quite quickly on Google. And they've just Googled me and they know who I am now.
Yeah.
So, older, hang on.
Steve would like people to do him.
That was Martin Meadows Evans.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for that.
I'll bleep that, don't worry.
Yeah. We've just taken over some guys that over a 2P contract, so they now work for us. They now work for us as opposed to the company they worked for previously. And although I have no access to Facebook, I don't have a Facebook account, I managed to find out that one of them had posted a comment on Facebook about us, their new employers.
Yeah, that's not acceptable. I don't have a problem with that.
But that got to me, and I don't even have access to Facebook.
Yeah, good.
The other side of it as well. That some employers, mainly in the States, who require you to hand over your social media password, username, and validate what you're supposedly doing in private.
No, that's unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. I wouldn't do that. It's illegal, apparently, yes.
Some states. It depends on the state.
It's part of the terms and conditions of the social networking site that
you're in breach of your contract by doing that with them, but it's not illegal for them to make it a condition of employment.
That wench is desperate over there.
Yeah. I see
those fellas' heads are getting a bit red, girl.
It's all right. I've just rubbed some cream into them. What I'm saying is...
Why didn't you wait? I've told you before, don't lean forward. I'm struggling for eye contact.
But before, we're all about, you know, the internet and stuff like that. But we used to have our addresses published anyway. It was called the phone book.
Oh, yeah, good point. And you're all on the electoral roll as well at your local library, which is a public record, which is accessible through the net as well. So.
What does it say on your top... Police telephone free use. Don't lean down.
She's a
free
TARDIS, mate. She really is bigger on the inside than the outside.
The corset is holding everything in.
For anyone listening, it's.
You look great, mate. I think you've made a fantastic effort. How the hell you've kept that blue wig on for about 2.5-3 hours? I've no idea. I'm not surprised. God. Round of applause for Batwinch. Making an effort. The last story was Dell looking into wearable technology, but they're very sceptical about it, but who cares what Dell think? Are they French?
I've got a story for you.
Go on.
Sorry.
I need to finish because the food's nearly ready.
Oh, did you see the BBC and stopped, finished, kaput, no longer doing 3D recording?
They want to limit it rather than completely cut it out.
They're recording the men's final tomorrow in 3D.
Oh, yeah. The article I read in the Times this morning was they are stopping it. So the last item they are going to record is... Am I going to get booed here? Okay, cool. Good, good, good. So this is the actual... They are going to stop it. Oh, yes. So there are some programmes that are planned, but they are stopping, phasing out, closing down.
So if anybody wants to buy a 3D camera...
Because only, what percentage do you think watched the Queen's speech? Why on earth you want to watch it in 3D? But what percentage do you think watched it in 3D?
2%.
5%, they said, lying through their teeth. No, it's 5%, they said.
Rubbish.
As high as 5?
Yes, I was amazed.
How many people actually watched the Queen's speech, first of all, and then...
Sorry, I'm correcting. That's the percentage that could watch it.
Right. That's the stories. That's the big show. Thank you for joining in. Wonderful. I've got a few thank yous and a few sponsors for today. The first sponsor, without a doubt, is Betsy Webber and TechSmith. Thank you so much. TechSmith sponsored us last year for the Bash, and without them, it would have been horrific, let alone the fact it was horrific and it was raining and it was my house and I lost my carpet. And the other thing is that... TechSmith makes some fantastic products. If you haven't got them, you should have them. The Snagit, which is a document interaction tool, really, that's almost like PDF on steroids, isn't it, I would say. I paid my tax bill using that, got Sharon to send over a signature, and I used Snagit to completely alter it and look like she'd sign it. Superb. Should I have said that?
Government already know, mate.
Can you find that online? And the other thing, the main product, which I think is... I'm probably wrong saying the main product, but it's the one that I use the most, and it's the one that we've used on the network. Gazmaz makes some fantastic instructional videos using it. Is Camtasia 2 at the moment. And you've done some road shows this last couple of months, haven't you, Betsy?
Yeah, I haven't seen home in months.
Yeah, no, but you do instructional sessions as well that people can go to on how to use Camtasia, how to get the most from it, yeah.
Yep, that's, and we have a lot of tutorials online made with Camtasia about how to use Camtasia.
And if you have Camtasia and you want to show what it can do and how you use it, if you send it to TechSmith and Betsy, they showcase it for you on the website so that people can see what you can do with Camtasia, and it is incredibly powerful. It's a screen capture system, does audio, does motion, you can edit afterwards. I mean, just incredible.
It's incredibly easy to use as well. My 9-year-old was made a Minecraft video of her playing Minecraft, edited it with Camtasia. She just used it. I didn't even help her or anything like that. She just fired it up, watched the tutorial video and used it. It's incredibly
It's so easy,
easy to use.
Will Green could use it?
Yes.
Steady on. I am still here is in brackets yet again.
Is that going to be some sort of new product badge made for Will Green?
It'd be unavailable. You'd never buy it anywhere. It wouldn't be out there.
Should we hear it for TechSmith one more time?
Sorry?
Hear it for TechSmith one more time?
TechSmith one more time. Good. UK2 as well. We love UK2. They pick up all the bandwidth. We love them to bits. Craig, who at UK2 has been our contact and has been a good pal, actually, over the last 3 years, has left them. He left yesterday after a good number of years there. He's moved on to bigger and better things. I'll sorely miss him because he really was a fantastic envoy for us. He ran the social media, and I know, James, you had tech support that Craig intervened with, got your tech issue solved very quickly. They've got fantastic tech support, wonderful, wonderful domain prices. I don't know who our new contact is going to be yet, but Craig said he's left him a note saying that British Tech Network is something to be cherished, which I thought was quite humbling. So thank you, Craig, if you've listened to this. I also want to thank Don again, because after the Bash last year, Don gave us a Mac Pro. We were struggling trying to run things on a Mac Mini, and we got 6 Skype lines coming in, and it was just a hell of a mess. And Don gave us a really powerful machine that crunches all the video, does everything. We'd be lost without that, mate. Thank you so much. If you don't subscribe to Screencasts Online and you've got an iOS device or a Mac... You're stupid. So it's screencastonline.com.
Did Don give you that, or was it his wife that gave you that?
Well, I think he had to run it by her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think she'd been shipping it out, actually.
Oh, right. It got a door. It didn't need stopping open anymore, so he gave it us. I also want to thank 12 South, because 12 South have given the prizes for the World Card Cutting Championships of the World. And they've also done it for the Space Hopper Grand Prix. And we've also got a couple of other prizes to give away because we feel like it. And if you don't know about TechSouth stuff, TolSouth stuff, it is incredibly well made. Beautifully, beautifully milled aluminium and things like that. You're going to love it when you get it. Whoever wins it, you're going to love it. I promise you. The other thing I want to say is, I mean, this is only once a year. I don't do it every week, and I do it a little bit at Christmas and at the bash. I've got to thank other people who effectively do BTN for me, with me. This man here puts an immense amount of effort in front of the camera, mic, and also behind the scenes. He helps Sarah administer the website. Sarah's got an enormous job in keeping everything running. Thanks to the fact that she set it up properly, it runs pretty smoothly now, I think. But, Paul, thank you very much. You also run the iOS show, the game show, and you did do the web show, which is going to come back, because you're out of work now, aren't you? and he also does the game show with Sam and Chiz, who are here. Thanks, fellas. It's a great show. If you haven't listened to Game Show, you've got to listen to it. There's nothing to do with gaming, and there's no technical value to it whatsoever.
Isn't it about biscuits?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we need... Actually, we could do the biscuit review on the reviews page. Oh, darling. Okay, the food's ready as well. I'll be quick with these. I want to thank Russ for doing the media show, and Carl, you do that with Russ as well, and Greeny's been on a couple of times, and DHM's been on once, I think, and there's Alex goes as well. And DHM, the new addition to the family, the comic show, wow, what a new find that is. Well done, mate. Superb show.
Cheers.
If you haven't listened to the comic show, and you're into your comics, it is geek beyond belief. I've learnt more than some stuff I didn't need to know.
You wait.
But one thing we have got lined up is a Judge Dredd special.
We have
a Judge Dredd special lined up. It will be nothing but Dredd for an hour, which is superb. And here's the best bit. I thought, Carlos Esquerra, he's the guy that invented Dredd, isn't he? He drew it originally.
One of them, yeah.
Yeah, one of the guys.
Yeah.
I wonder if I put in carlosesquerra@gmail.com, what'll happen?
I don't know what happened, Yud.
He replied and said, "Who are you?"
What did you tell him?
I said, "We've got a comic podcast. You're a god. Do you want to come on it?" And he said, "Yes." So the Judge Dredd episode, he's going to have Carlos Esquerra, the original man who penned Dredd way back in the 80s. He's also he's meeting in Glasgow. John Wagner. John Wagner, yes. Next week. So he's going to get John Wagner on as well.
Hopefully, yeah.
Anything you want to know about Dredd, get the questions into DHM,
yeah,
and we'll ask you. BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com, and we'll ask the questions of the man who invented Dredd.
Yeah, so. No sarky questions about what's under the helmet.
No. He should never have taken it off.
No.
Stallone should never have taken that off. Everyone knew who he was because of the bad acting. The
whole film should never have been made.
I've got a big long list here. I'll go through and rattle off as quick as I can. We've got some people in the States who commit their time. They get no money for coming on. We don't pay anybody to do anything with BTN. And there's some big names here who give of their time. Tom Merritt. I mean, what a fantastic bloke. We are an ant. He is a giant bear. And he still bothers to come. He's got a monthly slot. Third Thursday in every month he comes on the big show. And he doesn't have to do it. He just loves coming on because he likes talking about tech with us. Jeff Gamet as well. Week in, week out. Last man diving in at the very end because I'm crap at bookings on the Max show as well. No doubt he'll pop up. He's on the comic show too, and he's going to pop up on the media show, I'm sure, at some point. You guys love him on Gamer as well. He gets over it. It's the Jeff Gamet Network. Andy and Natco's come on every month this year. Last couple of months we've kind of missed and diaries haven't matched, but Andy's another person who really doesn't, you know, we're not even in his shadow, and he still comes along. Thank you. Adam Christensen, same thing. Matt Cass, superb podcast. If you're not listening to it, you damn well should be. Carrie Holtzman hasn't been on an awful lot this year since because he goes on about guns an awful lot. And the week that he was due on, I said, "Do you mind not coming on this week because you've killed a load of kids at a high school?" Not him. Americans. But Carrie's fantastic. We've got to get him back on the big show soon. He brings a very Luddite perspective. Jason Howell as well has come on, and Ayaz Akhtar from the Twitter Network, they're both on the big show, and Andy McCaskey, who some of you, if you've been a long time listeners, will remember Andy. Andy's been on twice this year and hasn't been around very much, but Andy was one of the stalwarts of Big when it was back under British under Bagel Tech, so couldn't do it without them. Ellis, where's Ellis? Ellis runs the show. Where's Ellis? Ellis, my boy, is the dude in Dad and the Dude. And we're going to do a Dad and the Dude after the food today. Just a very quick one. It's 15 minutes. It's a little 15-minute show. It's Ellis's view on the world. It is unique. You think he's got problems? Sarah Gray, for panellists. That was you, Greening. When anyone puts in your general direction, they don't mean anyone else, mate. He's got a sense of timing, at least. Sarah Gray, thank you very much for being a panellist. Thank you very much for doing the website. Superb, along with Paul. Don McAllister, thanks for panelling every week, mate, on the Max Show. James Hart, every other week now, unfortunately, because of work commitments, but we'd be lost without you, pal. Your knowledge of the web versus the net is... You keep reminding us.
It's like the only thing I know.
It's a grammar lesson. Carl Madden. Now then, Carl is a lot more seen than he ever used to be now. He's on the Mac shows, on the Big Show. He also runs the Google communities. He does an awful lot for us behind the scenes. He used to create all the docs for us, and he used to do all the show bookings for the guests, which is why it worked. So a round of applause for Carl Madden, because he does so much. Kyle Swegger, never clapped eyes on the bloke, but he's one of my best mates out in the Philippines. He comes on every week. It's like 1 a.m. in the morning for him to come on the Mac Show, but he still does it week in, week out. Thank you, Kyle. Will Green. Will Green has officially done more podcasts for us than he's done for himself.
But he's got better ratings.
DHM. There is Dr. Happy Mac, another stalwart, every Friday, gives up paying work to come on the podcast. So, that's off, sir. Hey? Shame he didn't take you off at the restaurant last night, you ignorant git. Alex Fox, who's not here, he's missed the last couple of years, but again, he's been doing a lot of work lately, so he hasn't been around the network very much. He's been a great supporter over the years. Chris Forsman, who's no longer with us because not dead, he's had a wee baby and he's got a new job, which means he's got to work on a Friday and he can't do the photo show with us. And Kev Newsom as well, who can't understand Alex, so there's no point in having him on. Steve? Neighbour? Oh, there he is. This guy comes on the F1 show when we do it. He comes on the Big Show when we do it. He invites us down to the Elmug events and has gotten involved with those. And we've got loads of exposure for each of us through that, which is superb. So a huge, please, round of applause for Steve for looking after us. Dr. Sexy. There he is. The man Rich Harkness is in.
But you sexy. Are, sweetie.
Boom, chicka, wow, wow. Just go behind the screen and slip your dress off. Ian Grant, who's superb, doesn't like coming on the shows very often because he likes listening to them, but he can't listen to the ones that he's on. So Dale Townsend as well. Gazmaz, who was here last night, he comes on regularly, but again, his work commitments have taken him away. Charlotte, Princess Charlotte there, thank you very much, mate. She's a new addition to the network this year. Paul Wright, new boy. He's had his first outing on the Big Show, and he's done a couple of media shows. Well done, mate. Chris Woods, hello. F1 stalwart. The only person on the panel that actually knows anything about F1. The rest of us are there to take the piss out of Michael Schumacher. Well done, mate. Thank you ever so much for your help this year. And the nonsense show might be coming back.
You never
speak
know.
To Joe.
Yeah,
speak to Joe. Maybe. Ditch Brian. He's a boring git. I'm sure he's French. Tony Blunt as well, who does the F1 and media show. He's superb. Pearson, who can't be here, he's going off to Australia, I think. So this was his last chance at the Bash and he's missed it. Barry Collins from PC Pro Magazine doesn't come on as much this year, but he's been a very strong supporter. And he also publishes my articles if I bother to write some and gets letters of complaint. Street Machiner at Falk does the iOS show with you guys in the Sweden. Bart Bouchot, again, who hasn't been on for a few weeks. Long story there. Not to do with Bart, but... David Dean as well, who hasn't been on for a while. And Roddy and Ian off the iOS show as well with Paul, so that's superb. Other people, I'm nearly finished, I promise. The other people are Miles Wheatley, your dad. He does all the show notes.
He does.
Oh, man, what a boy. He sits and looks at the crap that I've pasted in that no one can understand and turns it into a document that's worth having. Sarah for doing the site, like I said. Carl for lots behind the scene. Chat room regulars, a lot of you are here. Kelly, I said Kelly at the start. Kelly's on the list. Did I not say Kelly? Oh, I've skipped over.
Can't that. Believe many, you missed out, Kelly.
Dyslexic is. There's too many K's here. Kelly, Carl, and Kyle all together on the list. Kelly Gamont. Didn't forget her. Thought I said her. Sorry. Kelly's great as well. Chat room regulars. Some of you are chat room regulars, and the shows are made by some of the comments that are in the chat room as well. They set us off on a path that really we shouldn't be going down. a few people that are inside Apple as well. I can't mention any of their names because a lot of them work at a Genius Bars or a sales staff for Apple who I know and they feed me information about things. Someone that we know also here is very closely attached to Apple and I don't want to say his name again because he does give us some advice. And Kyle's cousin as well because Kyle's cousin called the iPad Mini 8 months before it came out and he was right. He was on the money with a lot of that. Justin TV, I'd like to thank them, but I can't because they're crap. I'd also like to thank Spreadshirt, because Spreadshirt got an order last week for Paul Kirkle's fine artwork. Paul Kirkle as well. Need a round of applause for Paul Kirkle's artwork. It's just superb. Paul's also on the comic show, which I forgot. But Spreadshirt said it'll be here on Thursday, and on Friday it wasn't, so I looked at the tracking number. It was still in Germany. And I have for each of you a little commemorative badge that was made with Paul Kirkle's artwork. So if you all write your address down, I'll post them out to you afterwards. But thank you, Spreadshirt. They are the worst internet firm in the world. Never buy anything from them. They are utter crap. The London Mac User Group, there's an awful lot of them here. We'd be lost without them as well. We've had some great special events together. If you're in London on a second Monday of the month.
Second Monday every month in the pub, which is known as the Old Explorer.
Fantastic venue. They lent us the PA for today as well as, so that's a huge thing. It's only £15 to join, and you can be a country member. And you're looking at like remote dialing, aren't you? So members can still come into the
£50 a year, summer party, and also a Christmas party, and great raffle prizes. Last raffle prize was an iPad Mini.
We'll have to do that. And today, Sharon, my wife, she puts up with everything.
Well done, Sharon!
Can we go out on Thursday night? No, I've got the big show. Sorry, mate. Leanne for the food. She's fantastic, and her husband has helped massively today. Aaron for bringing the space hoppers. Space hopper Grand Prix is going to be so
Why
much fun.
Why has Aaron got 7 space hoppers to himself?
Well, he wouldn't manage them one. I want to thank the Link and the neighbours of the Link who listen to our voices and are probably getting really pissed off, and they certainly will be by the end of the night. What a fantastic venue, you've got to agree. We need more people here next year, otherwise this really is not viable. without Tech Smith and Betsy, we wouldn't have been here at all this week. And the rocking MC, Steve Neighbour. Everyone as well chipped in this morning. The other thing I want to say is you look at things like Apple and you've got Steve Jobs making the iPhone, and he's just the totem pole that everyone else gathers around, but actually the value's not in him, the value's in the people that gather around. And I'm the one that started Bagel Tech all the years ago with a guy called Mark Silk on my own. And you guys all kind of come around that totem pole that's been put up, but the BTN is nothing without you lot. Absolutely nothing. Without people listening to it, without people taking part in the chat room, without people turning up to the bash, I'd be just a sad old sitting talking to a microphone by myself every week. Thank you so much to everyone that's been. Thank you so much to everyone that listens. If you have any possibility of getting to the bash next year, it's the 5th of July, it's a Saturday. You can buy hotel rooms starting on the 6th of August in the one opposite me, by the Curry House. Was the Curry House worth it? There you go. Come to the bash. Thank you.
And don't forget, before you do, Ewan, there's one person you've forgotten that we need to all thank very much for putting all this together, and that's you. So thank you very much to Ewan for all he does for the British Tech Network.
I'd be a sad old bloke with no money in my pocket stood here on my own. It's not.
Let's
thank
do three
you,
cheers for Ewan. Hip hip. Hip hip. Hip hip. Well done, mate.
The food is served.